I shall read from the book of Philemon. There is only the one chapter, but I read from the beginning. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow labourer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening I'd like us to consider that man named in verse 2, Archippus. He's mentioned a couple of times, of which this is the latter. It's rather implied that he is the son of Philemon. The book of Philemon is addressed to Philemon. Philemon, we know, was a wealthy man. He owned a large house. He had servants, probably some kind of businessman. Apphia is probably his wife, and their son is likely Archippus. So he is a man who has, by worldly standards, good prospects ahead of him. A stable home life and money. And Paul describes in verse 2 as our fellow soldier. Well, not only does he have good prospects from a kind of worldly, earthly perspective, but from a spiritual perspective as well. We don't know how or when or where, but Archippus had his sins forgiven. He came to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and became one of his followers. And Paul describes him as a fellow soldier. It's an interesting description. We are, of course, in a war. We are on the battlefield. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We don't feel the need to blow anyone up. But there are dark forces out there which often manifest themselves through human agencies, principalities and powers, which would hinder the work of gospel proclamation. They would damage the church. They would prevent people from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. These are demonic powers. And we battle with them. We might not see them. We might never meet them, at least not knowingly. One day, I suspect, we might be shown just how close to them at times we were and how the Lord delivered us from them. There's also the sense of our being soldiers because we're in the Lord's army. We're under discipline. We have instructions or orders. We have a commander, the Lord himself. His commands, instructions are written in his word, and we are to obey. And the soldier doesn't take a command or an order and ponder it and decide whether it's worth obeying or not. His job is to do as he is told. And we, followers of Jesus Christ, we're not to reassess the commands of the Lord in light of worldly wisdom, or to change definitions of this or that or the other. We're told to obey. And Archippus is a fellow soldier. In other words, Paul is saying, I too am a soldier. We're both soldiers in this army. So, Archippus, a soldier of the Lord. He's also mentioned in the book of Colossians. Scholars sometimes think that Philemon lived in Colossae. He was perhaps the pastor of the church which met there. And these two letters were sent at the same time and delivered by the same hand. The letter to Philemon is not quite a personal, confidential letter, but it's addressed to Philemon. And there's a greeting to his wife and son. The letter to the Colossians is written to the entire church. Nevertheless, Archippus gets a mention. Well, he's mentioned at the very beginning of Philemon, and he's mentioned again at the very end of Colossians. So I'm going to read from chapter 4, verse 16. Let's see what this will reveal about this man, this bit part of scripture. Now, when this epistle is read among you, See that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfil it. The salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains, grace be with you. Amen. So Paul's concluding remarks in his public letter to the Colossians also has a note for Archippus. So in Philemon, he's simply described as a fellow soldier in the greeting. And he appears to receive his own particular instruction at the end of the Colossian letter. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfil it. Now, when you're reading a text, you can't always work out the tone of voice. I'm sure you've sent or received an email or a text message and you may have taken it the wrong way. You know, you can't see facial expression, you can't see tone, you can't always detect irony, and it can be misinterpreted. And we don't know exactly how Paul is wording the little phrase to Archippus. Rightly or wrongly, I detect a hint of warning there, maybe even of rebuke. Take heed, pay attention to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfil it. The implication here is that there's a possibility he won't heed that ministry, and the consequence is that he will not fulfil it. Well, that could be said of anybody. If somebody is called to be a missionary or a pastor, take heed to your ministry that you may fulfil it. If I'm right about that kind of hint of rebuke or warning, I have to ask, why didn't it go in the more private letter instead of the public letter, which was the Colossian one? We know from verse 16 that Paul expected this letter to be read out in front of everybody. I don't suppose that the letter to Philemon was for public consumption, even though we know that the Holy Spirit in good providence had it preserved, so actually it did become a public letter. Surely it would have been better to have challenged Archippus in private and not in public. Why does Paul do that? Well, one answer might be, maybe he's not rebuking him. It's simply a reminder. But then we must ask, why put a reminder in the letter like that? And why single him out? Why not say to Philemon, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfil it? There is something about Archippus which required this particular intervention. When I was thinking this through, I was conscious of Paul's writing to another young man, a man whom God had called to minister in his church, and I'm referring to Timothy. In the second epistle, the fourth chapter and the first verse, Paul writes, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. It is, of course, a wonderful phrase. Paul, the older man, is saying to the younger man, come on, preach the word. Don't be afraid of them. Preach it if it's fashionable and keep on preaching when it's not fashionable. Preach when they want to hear and preach when they don't. But the beginning of it is, I charge you. It's military language. I give you the command. Now, in one respect, again, this is a letter addressed to Timothy, but Paul is saying to Timothy, what I'm instructing you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is not optional. It's not a, well, you know, you choose what you want to do. It's a command. You're a soldier in the army. Go and obey. And Archippus, who's described as a fellow soldier in Philemon, is told here publicly, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord. If Archippus is the heir to Philemon, he knows that one day he'll inherit the family business, or the family land, the large house, the servants who do the work. Maybe he's already involved in the running of that farm or that business. Might it be that his worldly pursuit is compromising his Christian call? Take heed to the ministry. Pay attention to it. Don't neglect it. Don't allow less important things to cover it up or to choke it. Why? This ministry, you've received it in the Lord. It's interesting, whatever Archippus was in charge of, whatever the house, whatever the business he one day inherited, nobody knows anything about that now. It's only his work for Jesus Christ and his membership of that church which is remembered. In the same way, whatever we do for the Lord, he will not forget, and the effects will be felt in eternity. What we do apart from that probably won't be remembered. Now, I'm not saying that things out of Christian work are not important. It is important that we run our households properly. It's important that we manage money properly. It's important that we manage families properly. It's important that we turn up to work on time. But what we do for the Lord is of eternal value. And you need to take heed of it. You've received it in the Lord that you may fulfill it. Is it possible that the Lord gives people ministry and they don't fulfill it? Surely the Lord will only call those who he knows will fulfill it. But my experience tells me that might not be true. And again, I'm mindful of Queen Esther, whom God providentially raised to the very court of Persia. And she's told that God put there for such a time as this. But if she does not take hold of the challenge, God will raise up another. Had he done so, I don't believe there would have been a book of Esther. There would have been a book of somebody else. Could it be that there is a particular ministry or work which Archippus was called by the Lord to do, but Paul detected perhaps a lack of enthusiasm, maybe a sense of compromise, a lack of commitment, a half-heartedness? Describe it how you will. How would he have found out, of course? Paul is a long way away. He's even chained up, he tells us in verse 18. Doubtless word got to him. But we can rest assured, if Paul found out, God knew about it. Even more so, because God the Holy Spirit was living inside Archippus. So the challenge of Archippus, I think, is number one, are we a fellow soldier? Number two, are we obeying the orders, the commands, the mission which our commanding officer has given to us? Are we paying it attention? Or are we taking it for granted? Are we acknowledging that what we do in our Christian life is actually in the Lord and from the Lord and of the Lord? And finally, are we actually fulfilling it? I think there are many things which on our deathbed we might look back upon and realise, actually, it wasn't so important after all. Would anything we do for the Lord? In our last moments, I don't think we'll ever have cause for regret. If anything, we might wonder why we didn't do more. If anything, we might contemplate on why we didn't prioritise that which was of eternal value instead of things which were of temporal value. I don't know how Archippus responded to that 17th verse. If it was read out in the church, and in the Laodicean church, of course, there is a sense in which everybody in that church probably would have known what Paul was referring to. And they would have seen whether Archippus accepted the challenge. Well, that may or may not be true of us. But rest assured, the Lord sees what we do for him. The Lord knows what we do for him. The Lord will reward what we do for him. Amen.